Okay, so moving on to our next.
I couldn't resist it. I wanted to catch her when I said that.
Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 94 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
I am Reza.
And this is a podcast to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. We have over 40 years of teaching experience between us, and we hope to improve your grammar, improve your vocabulary, and improve your pronunciation. In this episode, commonly mispronounced words. Those words that are spelt sometimes strangely in English and cause problems for Spanish speakers. But first, we have some listener feedback from Juan Gabriel. And I apologize to Juan Gabriel because he sent me these questions a while ago and the email got lost in the ether of my email list. So I apologize, Juan Gabriel, for taking too long to answer your questions. Reza, would you mind reading Juan Gabriel's questions for the listeners?
No trouble at all. Juan Gabriel writes, he has 3 points, he writes. One, ¿por qué en la frase, estos son vuestros vaqueros? Are these your jeans? Se pone antes la palabra are que la de these. ¿Por qué sería... ¿Son estos vuestros vaqueros? Explícamelo, porque el intercambio de palabras. No me aclaro. Well, I think I can clear that up. Aclarar. I think that I can clear that up for you, Juan Gabriel, without any problem at all. Because the order in a question is first the verb to be, are, and second the subject, these. Are these your jeans? It must be that order in a question.
If you say these are your jeans or these are your glasses, it's a statement. It's not a question. To make the question, you have to change the order.
He goes on, his second point. Otra duda que tengo es el significado de qué, si es what. Porque en la frase, qué baratos.
Qué baratos.
Qué baratos. Se escribe con that's. That's cheap. ¿Qué significado tiene la palabra that's?
See, I think the problem here is the direct translation. Juan Gabriel is trying to directly translate Spanish to English, which doesn't always work, does it?
Yes, and he's picked the most flexible word of all, que.
Que.
Which has lots of different translations into English, doesn't it?
Que.
Que. What? Which? Yeah. So you're right. In English, you can say, that's cheap. But you can also say, how cheap?
Yeah.
That's another translation of que, what was it? Que baratos. Yeah, can be how cheap. So you see, how isn't always como. How can be translated as que. It's a bit dangerous, Juan Gabriel, to think that one word can only have one translation. No, it's more flexible than that.
So, for example, que guapa, how beautiful or how attractive.
Mm-hmm. Or you could say she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Spanish, you would just say, qué guapa. But in English, she's beautiful.
How beautiful, or how beautiful she is.
So we hope that's helped you there. And here's his third and final doubt.
Duda.
Otra duda de las que tengo es, ¿por qué cuando le preguntas a alguien, tienes que poner al principio, do you? Por ejemplo, do you work in an office? ¿Qué significado tienen las palabras do you? Juan Gabriel, that's an easy question to answer. You must write do you in that question to indicate the question form in the present simple. For normal verbs, regular verbs, in the present simple, you need to use do or does for third person singular. Does he, does she, does it, do I, do they, do you, to indicate that it is a question. It's called the question form.
So again, I think maybe Juan Gabriel is translating directly from Spanish. Trabajas en una oficina? And of course he's asking, well, why do I need do? In Spanish, it's just work you in an office. But no, you need do you. Do you work in an office? You need that auxiliary verb to make the question in English.
Although not for the verb to be, Juan Gabriel. Are you Spanish? Not do you. Are you. The verb to be is different. And a few other things are different. But the majority of verbs need do or does for a question in the present simple. Okay, Juan Gabriel, thanks for your email. And we hope we've answered all your doubts. Craig, I think you wanted to say something about our sponsors, iTalki.
I would love to talk about iTalki, who have a web page where you can connect with a teacher to improve your English incredibly quickly. iTalki is an effective way to become fluent in English, and you have a really, really wide selection of wonderful teachers who can teach you one-to-one English. The teachers are native, so they speak American English or British English or Australian English or South African English, whichever is your preference. And it's convenient because you can learn at home using technology through the web page or through the iTalki app. It's also affordable. You can cut out the middleman, which means you don't go to a language school. You go directly to the teacher. So obviously it will be cheaper. And it's a personal, customized learning experience. There's that human connection when you're speaking with your teacher on a one-to-one basis. And listeners to Reza and I will get 100 iTalki credits free for registering with the iTalki system. So if you want to check it out and have a look, go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki. That's iTalki. Click on Start Speaking and find a teacher. Reza and I would like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Okay, so moving on to our next.
I wanted to catch her. I would have said that.
I like it.
Touché. So let's move on to our next item of business. I'm saying that in a joking way. An item of business is a formal way of saying the next thing we've got to do.
The next thing on the agenda.
The next thing on the agenda. The next item of business. As we said at the beginning, commonly mispronounced words. Now, many words are mispronounced, and different speakers mispronounce different things. But Craig and I have selected typical words which Spanish speakers often mispronounce. What do Finnish speakers mispronounce, Elisa? I have no idea. But I hope this is of some use to you. So, how will we do this, Craig? Any suggestions how we could make this more effective?
Well, we've made a list of words we think are quite difficult for Spanish speakers to pronounce, or maybe they're words that Spanish speakers make mistakes with from time to time. So, we'll say the word, we'll spell it for you, and then give you an example sentence. And we suggest that you repeat the words after us, repeat the example, and try to copy our pronunciation. So the first word is something that I don't have many of. Muscles.
No muscles. Tienes mejillones.
No, mejillones, very good. Músculos.
Right.
I don't have many muscles. I'm not a muscly person. M-U-S-C-L-E. Muscle.
Muscle. It just so happens the pronunciation for that word is the same as mejillón, muscle.
Different spelling. How do you spell mejillón in English?
M-U-S-S-E-L.
The same pronunciation?
Same pronunciation, identical.
So how do you know the difference?
Spelling.
If you say I'm going to the gym to get some muscles, maybe you're going looking for mejillones in the gym.
It could be. It could be. But hopefully the context will clarify that.
Yeah. Next word we have is armario. Cupboard. Cupboard. Do you pronounce that the same way?
Yes. Cupboard.
Cupboard. Spelling?
C-U-B. Cup. B-O-A-R-D, board. But when you put it together, the P becomes silent. Cupboard.
Cupboard. The cupboard is empty. We need to go shopping.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard. What happened? Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her dog a bone. Isn't that it?
That's right, yeah.
When she got there, the cupboard was bare.
Oh, no.
No, poor. I can't remember the rest.
So the dog went home with no bone or
no
something
bone.
Like that?
It's a children's verse, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next word is, the next word is catastrophe. C-A-T-A-S-T-R-O-P-H-E. The P-H becomes an F, a F sound. So the pronunciation is catastrophe.
And the E at the end is pronounced.
Which is unusual.
Usually, usually final E's are not pronounced, like language, baggage. But in catastrophe, it is pronounced. Which is similar to apostrophe.
Apostrophe.
A-P-O-S-T-R-O-P-H-E.
Yesterday I gave a lesson on the apostrophe in English, but the lesson was a catastrophe. Other words are often mispronounced. Recipe. Recipe for food, for example. What's the recipe?
Or dulce de leche.
Dulce de leche. The dulce de leche recipe. R-E-C-I-P-E. Recipe.
Another E which is pronounced at the end, surprisingly.
Yeah.
What about receipt, Craig? Can you spell that?
R-E-C-E-I-P-T. Receipt. When you buy something in a shop, it's common to get a receipt. In the supermarket, they give you a receipt at the checkout. And in Spanish, what would they say for that? Ticket?
El ticket.
Dame el ticket.
Can you give me the receipt, please?
And it's confusing because a ticket in English would be for an aeroplane, a bus, a train ticket, maybe a concert ticket or a museum ticket, but not when you go shopping. When you go shopping and you buy something, you ask for a receipt. Can I have the receipt, please?
Now, Craig, between my brother and my sister, they have three girls. My brother and my sister. They're married. They
but they're not married together. They're married
No, that is not a custom in Ireland. they are married, and between them, if you add up the total, they have three girls and also a boy. But forget about the boy. Three girls. What can we call those girls in relation to me?
Well, those girls are your nieces. So you have three nieces. N-I-E-C-E. Are they nice?
They're nice. Yes, they're nice nieces.
They're very nice nieces.
Sobrinas bonitas, sonidas...
Amables.
Sí, sonidas, sorry, sobrinas amables. Nice nieces.
They're very nice nieces. My nieces are very nice.
And a big hello to Nina, Annabelle and Rebecca, who will never listen to this podcast, I'm sure.
Well, they will now, because you have to tell them they must.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they're at university, but perhaps they can still improve their English. Who knows?
So the a niece is obviously female. A male?
Nephew.
So you have one nephew, N-E-P-H-E-W. That's another example, like apostrophe and catastrophe, of the PH becoming an F sound. Nephew.
Craig, can you think of any typical sports you can do in the winter?
Well, something I've never done, but is very popular in the winter, is skiing. S-K-I-I-N-G. S-K-I-I-N-G. Have you ever been skiing?
Never in my life. And I'd love to.
Me too. It's quite difficult, I think.
Craig, what's the word for something which is like a shirt? It's similar to a shirt, but it's only for women.
That would be a blouse. B-L-O-U-S-E. Blouse.
What about this word, Craig? S-U-I-T. Can you pronounce it? S-U-I-T.
Yes, the U and the I have... in that word, become an oo sound, like you or two. So that word is suit. Suit.
And how would you describe, in one word, sugar?
Sugar is sweet.
Not suit.
No. Suit is a verb and a noun, so a suit is traje. But you can say the suit suits you. It looks good on you. Te va bien este traje. So, to suit. Does it suit me?
Craig, I never wear a necklace. Do you think it would suit me?
I don't think a necklace would suit you, Reza. No. How do you spell necklace?
N-E-C-K, neck, L-A-C-E, lace, necklace.
Necklace.
Quite often in English, when you have a compound word like necklace, which is neck and lace, when you put the two parts together to make a new word, the pronunciation changes. So neck, cuello, and lace is like lazo or cordón. But put it together and it's necklace, not necklace, but necklace.
Necklace. Collar. And speaking of clothes, like blouses and suits, if you have a pattern.
Yes.
And the lines, you have lines down the shirt or blouse, you can say that it's striped. So a striped shirt or a striped suit. S-T-R-I-P-E-D. Striped.
1P.
1P.
What if I put in double P? S-T-R-I-double-P-E-D.
That becomes stripped.
Which means?
To remove your clothes like a stripper.
Yes. Or a doctor might say to you, could you strip, please? That's S-T-R-I-P. But he wouldn't say stripe. He would say strip. Take off your clothes.
Actually, Reza at the moment's wearing a very nice blue long-sleeved shirt.
Oh, thank you, Craig. And may I comment on your extremely good use of adjectives in the right order? Where did you learn to do that?
I think it was episode 92 or 91. I didn't say striped, though. So it's a long-sleeved striped shirt. Or is it a striped long-sleeved shirt?
Oh, we better go back to episode 91, everyone, and have a look. There's ambiguity.
But it is striped. He's wearing a striped shirt.
Mm-hmm. You'll be glad to hear, listeners, thank goodness there's no video. I have a striped shirt. I am not stripped. You'll be very relieved to hear that I am not stripped. I am fully clothed.
I'm relieved as well. When people ski, Reza, when they go skiing, what do people wear to protect their eyes?
Goggles. G-O-G-G-L-E-S.
Goggles, because if it were G-O-O-G-L-E.
Google, the famous internet company. But we're talking about goggles for your eyes.
Google goggles. A person who cooks in a restaurant, the profession?
A cook or a chef.
What's the difference?
More or less the same. A chef comes from French, so it sounds posher. It's from French. Chef.
And it's probably a bit more prestige, perhaps. It's more of a profession than a cook. Mm-hmm.
But not chef. Spanish people tend to say it with it's sh. Chef in English, chef. It's a small difference, but you should get it right. Chef.
So the CH is pronounced like an SH. It's sh, yeah. Chef. Spelling C-H-E-F. Chefs could use a toaster. T-O-A-S-T-E-R. To toast food. A toaster.
Craig, what are the 2 days of the week which Spanish speakers often mispronounce and confuse native speakers with?
Martes y jueves.
What a carry-on. What a carry-on. Qué lío.
Martes y jueves. How do you say those in English?
Tuesday and Thursday.
There's a y, like a Y sound in Tuesday, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Although in American English, I don't think they would have that Y sound in there. They wouldn't say Tuesday, they'd say Tuesday.
Right.
So Tuesday and Thursday.
Spanish people often mix those up. And quite often you hear something which is kind of in the middle. It's neither one nor the other. Spanish people say, I will see you Tuesday. What's Tuesday? We don't know. We honestly don't know what you're trying to say if you say that. So be very careful.
So again, jueves is...
Jueves is Thursday.
And martes?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. And after Thursday comes...
Friday.
F-R-I-D-A-Y.
And if you don't have to work, what would that be?
Fiesta?
Or a free day.
Yeah. Oh, that's the mispronunciation.
That's why I wrote it.
Yeah, that's the mispronunciation. So Friday is not usually a free day. Yeah.
But it's very often mispronounced. And very confusing. A free day is any day you don't have to work. Friday is viernes.
Next, we have two words that are difficult, I think, because of what's called a consonant cluster, which means many consonants together, which some Spanish speakers find problematic. For example, S-C-R-I-P-T, script, which is guion, script. And another one, C-R-I-S-P-S, papas. Papas are crisps.
Mm-hmm. That SPS cluster is difficult
to difficult.
Say.
It's difficult, yeah.
Crisps. Another one would be wasps.
Wasps.
The insect wasps.
Wasps are...
avispas.
Avispas, yeah.
Difficult to say.
So script and crisps and wasps.
By the way, don't panic, all of you. Just to pause for a minute. Don't panic if there are a few words which you find very difficult to pronounce and you still make mistakes.
Just practice.
Just practice. My dad lived for 70-something years and could never pronounce the word wasps in his entire life. Until the day he died, he pronounced it vaps.
Because, he changed the W to a V sound.
He couldn't get it right. He couldn't get it right. And his pronunciation of English was fine, obviously, but he couldn't get the word wasps right. But, you know, he didn't suffer much because of it. We all have our own little idiosyncrasies. Don't panic.
Another commonly mispronounced word is W-O-U-L-D.
Good. Is that right?
No.
No, I said bueno. Good is bueno.
Good is a hard G. G. From the throat, g, and there's also vibration. Wood is just the mouth, wood, with no vibration in the throat, w, wood. So if you say water and then wood, the sound is the same at the beginning, wood. Would you like another coffee?
What about this word, Craig? B-I-G.
Big.
Now, some of you might think, that's easy. Yeah, big. We all know that. Oh, do you? Some Spanish speakers say too much jota on the G. Take away that jota. No, no, we don't want that in English. Big. We don't want at the end.
Right. And bag.
It's exactly the same.
B-A-G, the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bag. How many times have I heard big bag and all I could hear was the jota? It's a big bag. No.
So there's no throat sound there. It's just there's no
big bag. We don't want you sounding like Daffy Duck.
Another short word that I sometimes hear mispronounced by Spanish speakers is P-U-B, pub.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hear sometimes puff, P-U-F. Yes. It's pub, b. Also vibration on the B. So it's the same sound at the end of pub as the beginning of bag or big. It's the b. So pub. I'm going to the pub.
Craig, how long have you lived in Valencia?
I've lived here since 1997.
Since?
S-I-N-C-E.
That pronunciation isn't logical. It doesn't look like that, but it is that. Since.
Since.
Another one. Craig, I'll spell it and you can tell me the pronunciation. T-H O-U-G-H.
Though. Many words ending in O-U-G-H can cause problems, and we agree that it's not logical. Sometimes the relationship between the spelling and the pronunciation is very difficult to understand. But focus on the ending O-U-G-H in words like though or T-H-R-O-U-G-H.
Through.
And T-H-O-R-O-U-G-H.
Do you want my pronunciation or yours?
Let's give both.
Okay. Thorough.
Thorough.
And can I pretend to be an American? Thorough.
Thorough. With a W at the end.
American.
A W sound at the end. So let's
what does it mean?
Thorough is al fondo.
A thorough investigation. Una investigación al fondo. And through? Let's go through the tunnel. Preposition, no? And though is a short form of?
Although. Though I told him, he didn't do it. Though I asked him, he didn't do it. Next word, D-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, daughter.
Oh, what a classic. How many people I've had in my Spanish classes that wanted to tell me about their child, their daughter, and I thought they were talking about a medical practitioner.
Right.
I thought they were talking about their doctor.
So how would you say in English, mi hija es médico?
My daughter is a doctor.
My daughter is a doctor. So the sound, the vowel sound at the beginning is the same as in words like door or more or saw. It's or, so door, daughter, daughter.
The G is silent. Oh, another classic one, chemist. The CH yes. is K here.
Yeah,
chemist.
It's a hard K sound, chemist.
Or chemistry. That's C-H-E-M-I-S-T-R-Y. Compare that to the word we had earlier, chef, which
right.
also begins C-H, chef. And now we got C-H, K, chemistry.
I hated chemistry at school.
Oh, me too. Can you think of other words beginning with CH pronounced K? December, Christmas.
Christmas, of
Christ.
Course. Christ.
There are a few, aren't there?
Yeah, there are a few.
Christina, Christopher.
And there's a word that has the same hard K sound at the end that is spelled S-T-O-M-A-C-H. How do you say that one?
Stomach.
Stomach. Stomach. And if you have a pain in your stomach, si te duele, you have got a stomach. A stomach ache. Stomach ache.
Can I just mention that that's my favorite of all mispronounced words by specifically Spanish? Because that is my favorite. Now, I generally don't like to do this because I don't want you to practice your mistakes. But I just have to pretend I'm Spanish and say it. Stomachache, good pronunciation. Not estomachache, but I just love it so much. Estomachache, to me, it sounds like a South American tribe. Do you remember 500 years ago, Los Estomachache ruled Mexico?
Until they had intestinal yeah. problems.
That's what makes them different to the Apache or las Aztecas, those estomachaches. They had, oh, it's a lovely mispronunciation. But don't say that. Say stomach ache.
Stomach ache.
We got two hard CHs. Stomach ache. Stomach ache.
And just one point, because we deliberately separated the two words, but they actually, the two sounds, but they actually joined together. Stomach and ache. Because stomach ends with a consonant sound, k, and ache begins with a vowel sound, there's a joining of those two. So we don't say stomach ache, we say stomach ache. It's almost like cake pastel. Stomach ache. Stomach ache.
What do you call that articulation in the middle of your leg?
It's your knee. K K-N-E-E. Knee.
Silent K, yes.
Silent K. And Reza is a very good F-R-I-E-N-D. Pronunciation is...
Friend.
Friend.
Spanish people often mispronounce that word. They pronounce the I and the E separately. Don't do that. It's just a friend.
Friend. So you have two vowels, but one vowel sound. Friend.
The next one is a classic, which is easy to understand, but why not get it right? Why not pronounce it the right way? So often Spanish people don't. P-A-R-E-N-T-S.
Parents.
It's the first syllable. Pair. Parents. Parents.
Parents.
Not pa. Pair. Parents.
Speaking of family relationships, primo or prima in English is C-O-U-S-I-N. Pronunciation?
Cousin.
Cousin. So the vowel sound for OU is a, like up. Cousin. Cousin.
Craig, when you haven't eaten for a while and you would like to eat, you feel?
Hungry. Hungry.
Can you spell that?
H-U-N-G-R-Y. That's how I'm feeling at the moment. Very hungry.
And if somebody does something that you really don't like and it bothers you, it upsets you, you feel angry, A-N-G-R-Y, enfadado. Spanish people often mix those two words and they come up with one which doesn't exist. They like mix hungry and angry and come up with hungry. Don't say that. Although I wish it did exist.
I think it does. Hungry? I think it does. Hungry. I remember reading in a blog of new words that if you're hangry, you are angry or frustrated or in a bad mood or you have bad mood because you want to eat. So I think
it's logical, isn't it?
It's logical. Yeah. So if you're hangry, maybe you're angry because you want food.
Yeah. But it doesn't really. Don't use it in your English exam. No. They won't accept it. It's not right.
Hungry and angry.
As you know, an important aspect of English is phrasal verbs. Phrasal verbs. Phrasal. You don't want to frazzle the verbs.
No.
To frazzle something is to cook it too much, make it go dry. That's to frazzle. No, it's a phrasal verb.
And many words beginning with S, Spanish speakers sometimes add an extra syllable to the S. They add an E. So, for example, where we in British English would say Spain, there's no E at the beginning of that word. It's just the S sound, Spain. I'm from Spain. I'm Spanish.
Stop.
That's another example. Stop.
Not stop.
No.
Spanish thing. No, 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 no.
S-T-O-P, stop.
Stop.
So stop. Please stop putting the extra E at the beginning of words, at the beginnings of words with an S sound.
All those words begin...
like a snake.
Stop, Spanish, she, shall, so, is the first sound.
H-O-N-E-S-T.
Honest.
Honest. The H becomes silent. Honest.
What about H-O-T-E-L?
That's commonly a problem with stress because it's a two-syllable word, hotel, but the stress is on the second syllable, hotel. So we don't say hotel, we say hotel. I'm staying at a nice hotel.
And the H is pronounced.
And the H is pronounced, correct.
Spain, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Brussels, Amsterdam are all in which continent?
Europe, which is spelled E-U-R-O-P-E, but the E-U changes to a Y sound. So, Europe, Europe.
So, Europe, European, or the money, Euro.
And because the EU becomes a Y sound, you can, if you need an article, you can use a or a and not an, because it's common to think that you use an when the word begins with a vowel, but only if it begins with a vowel sound. So you would say a European man or a European country. B-O-A-T, barco.
Boat.
Boat.
C-U-T.
Cut. So the a, like up or understand, it's a, cut.
Cut something with a knife.
Cut and paste.
Now, L-I-V-E, how's that pronounced?
It depends if it's a verb or a noun or an adjective. So if it's a verb, it's live. I live in Valencia. If it's an adjective, it's live. So a live concert or a live performance.
Same spelling, pronunciation changes. Another problem is the end of ordinal numbers. We mean first, second, third, but they're easy. The ones beginning, those are easy, first, second, third. The hard ones are the ones which end in TH. Spanish people often forget or mispronounce the TH. Fourth, cuarto, fifth, quinto, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th, etc. Pronounced th at the end.
And there's no vibration in the throat, so it's just from the mouth. The tongue goes between the teeth, and it's th, th, th. It's not the. It's th, just from the mouth. What about this word, Reza? C-O-M-F-O-R-T-A-B-L-E. How many syllables?
Comfortable.
Three syllables.
Yeah.
Stress the first syllable. Comfortable. This is a comfortable chair.
I would say the second O between F and R, F-O-R, don't pronounce it, right? Mm-hmm. Comfortable.
Comfortable.
Similar to vegetable.
V-E-G-E-T-A-B-L-E. Vegetable.
Yeah, don't pronounce the E in the middle. Vegetable. Vegetable. Another thing you can eat. F-R-U-I-T, how would you pronounce that?
Again, with an oo sound, like S-U-I-T. So F-R-U-I-T, fruit. Mm-hmm. Fruit.
So the I isn't really pronounced. This is, imagine there is no I.
And remember, it's usually an uncountable noun. So I like fruit. Don't put an S on the end. I like fruit. My favourite food. C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E only has two syllables, not three. How do you say it?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Chocolate.
Middle O, silent.
Mm-hmm.
A word with a long history. A word which started off in South America, got put into Spanish, mm-hmm. chocolate, and from Spanish into brought back to Europe.
By the stomachaches.
Their stomach touches, yeah. And has ended up being pronounced in English as chocolate.
Chocolate.
I don't know how it's originally pronounced by the Aztecs and the Incas, but their pronunciation is slightly different. But
yeah, it begins with an X.
An X, does it? Yeah. By the way, to all our South American listeners, particularly Craig, but also me, thank you very much for inventing chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Where would we be without chocolate? Probably at least 15 kilos lighter.
But the pleasure it's given us.
Two words that are often confused, Q-U-I-T-E and Q-U-I-E-T. So the first one, Q-U-I-T-E, is pronounced quite, and Q-U-I-E-T is quiet. Do you pronounce them the same?
Yes. Can you give me an example sentence of each?
Well, I'll do the second one first because it's easier. Quiet. Shh. Somebody's in the next room. Be quiet. Be quiet. Dad's reading the newspaper.
Spell that, please.
Q-U-I-E-T. Mm-hmm. Quiet. However, quite could have two meanings. I'm quite good at languages, but not very good. How would you translate that to Spanish? I'm quite good at football, but not very good.
No estoy mal.
No estoy muy mal.
Quite good.
I'm quite good. And he's quite good at football.
Yeah, look at him.
Bastante,
wow.
Bastante bueno.
Yeah, yep. Depends on the context so and the intonation.
It depends on the intonation, yeah, and the meaning. So it can be un poquito, un poco, or it can be mucho, depending on the intonation. So let me try and think of two more examples. I'm quite hungry. Puedo comer. I'm a little bit hungry, but I'm quite hungry. Tengo bastante hambre.
When you mean a lot, you stress the adjective. I'm quite hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mean not much, you stress the word quite. I'm quite hungry.
And the voice goes up when it's un poco. It goes up. So I'm quite hungry, but not very.
Craig, what is the capital city of Scotland?
Glasgow.
No.
I'm joking.
Glasgow is the biggest city.
It's Edinburgh. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. So many people mispronounce that.
Edinburgh. E-D-I-N-B-U-R-G-H. Edinburgh.
Craig, a good-looking woman. Instead of good-looking, attractive, we could use a different word.
Do you mean pretty?
Yes.
P-R-E-T-T-Y? Pretty?
Exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4. What was the first word I said?
One. O-N-E. One. Why is that a problem for Spanish speakers?
At the beginning, lower levels.
Okay.
There's no W in that word. It doesn't begin like would, will, but the pronunciation is one, as one. If it was a W sign.
Yeah.
So it's odd if you think about it. I suppose people learn quickly because it's such an important word. But at the beginning, when you teach beginners, you get a lot of people saying on.
Yep.
On or Juan, things like that. A piece of paper, Craig, could also be called a...
A sheet of paper, S-H-E-E-T. Or also you have a sheet on your bed.
Sabana.
Sabana.
And there's a slightly rude word, S-S-H-I-T, which is what comes out if you need to go to the toilet, which is a slang colloquial word for excrement. And if you don't make a difference between the long sheet paper or the other one, which is a shorter sound, then you could get into a lot of trouble. It's a bit, it's similar to sheep, S-H-E-E-P, oveja, and ship, S-H-I-P, barco.
So the second one, the barco, ship, has the short vowel sound, I, ship. And oveja has the long vowel sound, sheep, sheep, sheep and ship.
There's a series of adverts which I love, and you can find them on YouTube featuring a Spanish character called Juan Sheet. And the whole point of the ads is his mispronunciation of Spanish, but you understand him. He mixes up sheet with that other word, and he mixes up Juan, his name, with one, the number. And can we include the link in this podcast?
Absolutely. If you go to inglespodcast.com/94, I'll put the link to that YouTube clip video so you can watch it. And also there's another one about an Italian who goes to Malta that's very funny. So I'll put both of those videos in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/94. And that's all we have time for at the moment. I'd like to remind you that for our 100th episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, which will be in 6 episodes' time, we'd like to feature you, our listeners, and we want to hear about how English has helped you in the past, your wins in English. So if you'd like to send us a voice message, we will be very, very grateful and include it in our 100th episode. So just tell us how English has helped you. Because of my English, maybe you got a better job or a promotion. Because of my English, I managed to eat in a restaurant in London and order all of my food in English. Or because of my English, I made friends with English speakers from other countries. You can send us your voice messages by going to inglespodcast.com/speakpipe. That's SPEAKPIPE. And you only have about 90 seconds to tell us your story. And we'll be giving a free t-shirt as a prize to the best story we receive. If you'd like to get in touch with us by email with a comment or question, write to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or you could write to me, Reza, that's belfastreza@gmail.com.
And on next week's podcast, we'll be speaking about technology vocabulary and answering a question we had from a listener. Until then, have a wonderful week, and it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from Craig.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.